Let us turn to Acts chapter 26 and read from verse 19. Acts 26, the 19th verse. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple, and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Here Paul continues his testimony before King Agrippa and the governor Festus. He sums up this part of it with the words of verse 22, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. He means from his conversion 20 years ago to the present moment. He takes nothing to himself, but gives all the glory to God. It is the New Testament version of what Samuel did, wasn't it, when he raised up that stone of help, Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And this is exactly how we view things, isn't it? We look over the years since we were converted, and all that has happened, all the Lord has done, and we have this testimony as well. How else could we express it? Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Without his help, we would not have continued for a moment. In order to see this more clearly for us, we can trace what Paul meant by these words, because, again in verse 22, the verse begins, having therefore obtained help of God, and so on. And the therefore points to a little earlier and the things he had said before. And they look back to verse 19 and following, of course. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, the Lord who appeared to him on the Damascus road for his conversion and calling to be an apostle, but showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. So, Paul having enlarged a little upon what he meant, let's trace some of the things that are included here so that we can see what the equivalent is for us. We can learn some things about the divine help that Paul received and the divine help that we receive. Let's look first of all at the instances of it. Having therefore obtained help of God. What did God help Paul with? Well, one thing was his very first witness that he made. And we're told where that was in verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus. Now that's of course where he was heading. And he was heading there for a purpose. He anticipated and expected he would enter the city, and he would round up the Christians, bring them back to Jerusalem for punishment. In the event, he entered the city all right. at the edge of the city, being led by the hand, because he was blinded and helpless, the Lord had apprehended him. The exact wording for it is back in Acts 9, where you have the history of his conversion. And you have in verse 10 that he desired of the high priest letters, chapter 9, verse 2 rather, desired of the high priest letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And then verse 19, when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. He was the enemy of them, and he was going to round them up for punishment, and he ends up being the friend of them and among them. And then verse 20 of Acts 9, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God, and all that heard him were amazed. Amazing that he preached Christ to the Jews in the synagogue at Damascus and helped them to see the wonder of prophecy fulfilled, to show them from the Old Testament that all that was promised concerning Christ has been fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Messiah. To teach those that were like he used to be, unbelievers, enemies, rejecters of the Messiah. And now he had been converted and he was teaching these very people in the hope that they might become like him. And that was his first witness. And he had help of God. It's a tremendous change, isn't it? He who stood before Jews as one of them, as a strict Pharisee, highly thought of, greatly respected, very learned, and he could speak very, very well in such company. And he ends up a despised, persecuted Christian standing before such Jews with a very different message. And he would need help for that. Reminds me of A.W. Pink and his conversion. I remember reading it in his biography. He was a member of the Theosophist, I think that's how you spell it, Theosophy. It was a kind of a Eastern mystical religion or philosophy. And he rose quite high in the cult. And he was an accomplished speaker among such audiences. And then, after his conversion, he went back to a meeting because he had been booked to speak at the meeting before he was converted. So he kept the appointment, he went to speak at the meeting, but now as a Christian. And he preached the gospel to them. And there was a groan that went up from the audience. But what a thing to do. A brave man, you say. Ah, no. He obtained help of God to be able to fulfill that. It's a very, very different thing when the poacher turns gamekeeper and you are on the different side altogether. So his first witness was that. And haven't we found, dear friends, that we were greatly helped when we tried to witness at the beginning? We were in fear and trembling, maybe, but oh, the Lord opened our mouths and we were able to say something for the Saviour who had found us. And then secondly, not only his first witness, but there was a providential escape that God helped him with. If you look at verse 23 of Acts 9, you'll see that it wasn't long. Well, many days were fulfilled, but the trouble had been brewing and it reached boiling point, and the Jews were so angry at Damascus they plotted to kill him, and they were lying await, and the gates were watched day and night because they were intending to kill him when he left the city of Damascus next morning. But their laying awake was known of Saul. And the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And he escaped that murderous plan, having obtained help of God. God helped in getting the intelligence to Saul that there was this party waiting to kill him, and put it into the hearts of the disciples to lower him down over the wall with ropes in a basket. Well, that's the help of God, the Lord with his servant. And then a third instance of it is the initial disappointment that he met when he came to Jerusalem. In Acts 9 again, and verse 26, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He applied for church membership at Jerusalem, newly converted. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. They couldn't believe it. This Saul of Tarsus, who had this reputation, and now he wants to become a member with the Jerusalem church. Surely it's a plan. Surely he's going to infiltrate them, pretending to be a Christian, and then when he gets to know them all and their names and so on, he's going to take action and have them all arrested. They can't believe his testimony that he tries to make to them. Until verse 27, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and sponsored him and verified that he had seen the Lord in the way and preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus and so on. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. But you see, it was a little bit of a rebuff, wasn't it? To want to be a member there and then not being prepared to accept him. Not being prepared to believe that he really was a Christian. And that can be a stumbling for some people. There are people who say, oh, I went to that church and they didn't accept me. They treated me badly. I really wasn't welcomed among them. I was made to feel a second-class person, that kind of thing. And that can really upset and put off a new convert. It can do terrible damage. Even though these believers at Jerusalem meant well, but Saul would have been disappointed. But you see, he wasn't stumbled, because these were true Christians, and he was a true Christian, and it helped him to understand and to love and be patient. And when it is the case that true Christians are involved and the person on the receiving end is a true Christian, there is that oneness and that spirit that prevents lasting damage. Having obtained help of God, he has helped us not to take umbrage in every case where we've not been treated ideally by fellow Christians. He's helped us in our spirit to be patient and understanding, and to examine ourselves perhaps, and appreciate why it had to be like that. A false Christian will say, oh, if that's Christianity, you can keep it. I get better treatment in the world, and so I'm going back there. But not a real Christian. Having obtained help of God, God was with him. God was in the situation. So that was another instance of the Lord helping. And then, fourthly, those missionary journeys he took, he mentions those there in verse 20, where he says, then to the Gentiles. Three.
three missionary journeys over land, sea, into synagogues, into houses, in the open air, preaching and teaching, the converts, the churches founded, establishing them in the faith, the setbacks, the encouragements, the burden of the care of the churches to the Gentiles, all these things. How could he do it all? How could he keep going? Having obtained help of God. The key to it is keep on keeping on. There are times when it is discouraging. Nothing much happening. Tempting perhaps to give up. Look for some other situation. Go elsewhere. Having obtained help of God, I continue. And it's the preparedness to trust God and persevere. That's often what's characterized the work of the kingdom. William Carey, for instance, he said, I can plod. And elsewhere he wrote, when I left England, my hope of India's conversion was very strong, but amongst so many obstacles, it would die unless upheld by God. Well, I have God, and his word is true. God's cause will triumph. He was enabled by God, you see, to keep going. And sometimes it's like that, isn't it? Another day, another week, another month, another year, it's the Lord's work, and it's the Lord's help, and it's the Lord's blessing that we keep going. Think of the work in the Sunday school at the hallway. That could be something that you could view in a particular way and say, well, I know, do a little good here, try something else. But you see, if it's of God, then you obtain help of God to keep going. And you look to God and expect that God will bless sooner or later. And that's what lies behind all faithfulness, all perseverance, all keeping on in God's work, even when it seems like nothing is happening. We walk by faith and not by sight to the Gentiles. And my, what fruit was wrought among the Gentiles, ultimately. Having obtained help of God. That's the only explanation. It's the help of God that keeps us going and hoping and eventually seeing something by his wondrous grace. And then one further thing. Fifthly, another instance was his rescue by the Romans, which he alludes to in verse 21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. That's where the trouble started, wasn't it? Where it all kicked off and what's brought him to this place now and appealing to Caesar and going to Rome. But obtaining help of God, because all that was God's rescue and preservation, wasn't it? The Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me, but they did not kill him, because the chief captain, Lysias, and his men went there too quickly for the Jews to do that, and they rescued Paul. That was God's hand in the matter. And then he was brought before Felix and brought before Festus. And you remember, twice the Jews plotted to ambush and assassinate Paul when he would have taken two shortish journeys. But twice, both Felix and Festus prevented those journeys. And so the plan of the Jews, both times, was thwarted. And timing was crucial, wasn't it? Just at the right time, these things were overthrown. And the purpose of the Jews defeated. Having obtained help of God. God was in it. The hand of God was clear and evident. All the way And in these things that he says, it's not everything, but what is there can all be traced up to the faithfulness and sufficiency of God. These marvelous instances which he refers to here in these words. And what marvelous instances we have too, as we look down through the years and think about them one by one. The help of God. Instances, but let's look secondly at the nature of it. Having therefore obtained help of God. What was it like? How did it come? Well, it was promised help, wasn't it? And the Lord, back in chapter 23 and verse 11, the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. I'll be with you. I'll be with you, standing by to be your help." And again, at his conversion, as he relates the facts of his conversion in chapter 6 and verse 17, the Lord Jesus says, "Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles." So it was. He was graciously helped all the way through. And dear friends, if God calls, then he always enables. And it applies to everything in principle that we might be called to ourselves. It's always the case that if he wants you to do something, or go somewhere, or face a certain thing, he will also give you the help. And you'll be able to look back and say, having therefore obtained help of God. Never are we left to ourselves and on our own. When he sent Moses to Pharaoh, Exodus 3 verse 12, he said, "Certainly I will be with thee." That word, certainly. Moses could bank on it, depend upon it. He'd have help. And you read through the chapters of Exodus, as we've been doing on Lord's Day morning, and you'll see that Moses grows in boldness and confidence, and he's helped by God, and he ends up to be the spokesman, and speaks to Pharaoh with great authority in the name of God. He's timid and shrinking back, fearful, full of excuses to begin with, and by the end, he's someone before whom even Pharaoh seems to cower. Having obtained help of God, we venture, you see, and we prove it. It's true. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 24, Paul himself wrote these words, "Faithful is he which calleth you, who also will do it." Whatever is involved in fulfilling that call of God, God will do it. He'll help you, enable you, be your sufficiency. It's promised help. It's not something that may or may not come, or good thing it did come, although it wasn't expected. There's no uncertainty about it. Promised help. The Lord shows his great faithfulness in these things. And it's for us to prove it, isn't it? And to find him wholly true. This help was outward. The word help there refers to something that's given by an ally. Or it can be alliance. In other words, there was someone in addition to Paul present. And Paul had a great helper. And there was an alliance between a man and his covenant God. And Paul received help because of the presence of God. There is an outward sense in which this is true. He's right there with you. He's next to you. He's round about you. He's going before you. He's at your side. He's at your rearward. All the presence of God. Paul could say in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9, I glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me, coming upon me from the Lord who is with me always. It's an outward thing. And sometimes we sense it very much, don't we? It's almost as if the Lord is right there. Feel his presence. Experience his wisdom and guidance and enabling. And we are blessed through the experience. We begin in fear and trembling, in uncertainty, maybe anticipating the worst in our lowest moments, and find that the Lord is better to us than our faith, better to us than our expectation. He is there for us. Help. But thirdly, this help is also inward, and it is very tender. The word help can also mean succor, comfort, and a gracious soothing and an inward strengthening. And it comes from two words, apparently, which are very suggestive. The first word is upon, and the other word is little girl. What do you do if you come upon a little girl in need? Well, doesn't your heart go out to the little girl? You've come upon this little girl, distressed, worried, fearful, small, vulnerable. And what do you do? Oh, bless her. And your heart goes out to her. You are with her there, you speak kind words, you help her, you become a little father or a mother in your capacity, and she is greatly helped. Dear friends, we are like that. Didn't Solomon say, Lord, I'm like a little child. How can I judge so great a people? Give to thy servant an understanding heart. I tell you, when we take the heart of childlike need and humble trust, the Lord gives succor, and the Lord is drawn to us to help us. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Have you ever been brought to the place where there's something you've got to do or say, a situation to face, a matter that's looming, a dilemma, a seemingly insuperable problem, and you've just had to fall down before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just so helpless. I just don't know what to do. I don't know what the solution is. I'm not able to cope with this. I feel so ignorant and weak. I feel my inadequacy. How am I going to be helped? And the Lord comes very near. And he says, I am thy help. You can obtain help of me. But the other Saul, King Saul, in the Old Testament, while either he was like this, and even an unregenerate professor can be, at the beginning at least, be a bit like this, he was helped, wasn't he? God said to that Saul, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, thou wast made the head of the tribes of Israel. So when he grew proud and rebellious and disobedient, then it all fell to pieces and he became an apostate. But dear friends, this childlikeness is pleasing to the Lord. He looks upon the poor and the contrite, who trembles at his word, who feels their need, who looks up to God desperately and says, if the Lord does not help us, where shall we be helped? Inward and tender then is that wonderful help, and he succours us. As if the Lord comes upon his little child and speaks comfort and speaks strength into our hearts, having obtained help of God, I continue to this day. Oh, that's the nature of it. The lower we get, the more at the end of ourselves we become, the nearer God draws, and the greater the help we receive. When we're absolutely emptied of our own wisdom, resources, strength, when we come to an utter end of ourselves, that's the point at which God begins to bless us. Maybe it is that we've not been that helped in the past because we've reserved to ourselves a little bit of wisdom, a little bit of enabling, a little bit of our own resources. And so it's partly trusting ourselves, the arm of flesh, and partly trusting the Lord, the arm of his strength, and the Lord will have nothing of it. He won't divide his strength with ours and just make a contribution to what we need. He will do it all, or he'll not do it at all. And so, when all the proper diligent use of means has been done, it's the help of God in order to use those means and prove his help, inward and tender. And then, from the nature of it, lastly, the duration of it. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. See, it's when he needed it, obtained help of God. It means he experienced it and met with it. It came to him at the time. The need was there, the help given and obtained. It's like Hebrews 4 and verse 16 says, grace to help in time of need. It's always like that. And we've often found, and we often say, don't we, it's not given before we need it. You see, if we felt sufficient beforehand, we would probably trust to that sufficiency rather than to the Lord, the source of it. And the fact is, we're not given a lifelong store of grace from which we can receive. It's a matter of daily dependence that we might receive from him. And not only daily dependence, we might say hourly dependence. Even moment by moment, dependence. That hymn had it right, didn't it? When it says, hold thou my hand, so weak I am and helpless. I dare not take one step without thy aid. Now, is that just devotional poetry? Is that just some nice Christian sentiment? It's what we're brought to when the need leads us to prove God's sufficiency at the time. And we sometimes say, well, if such and such happened, I don't know how I would cope. Or if this were required of me, how could I possibly do it? And the fact is, you don't get tomorrow's grace today. And you don't get future need given ahead of time. It's when it comes, so the help of God will come. How is it going to be when I come to die? The thought of dying. But you don't get dying grace today. You get it when the time comes. It's always like that. Having obtained help as the situation arose, as the demands came, as the requirements were there. So he obtained help of God for the wall. And so don't think that tomorrow, whatever might happen, that you'll feel sufficient today. No, you'll be made sufficient tomorrow. And our part is to depend on God and look to him and expect that he will not fail us. And he didn't fail him. I continue unto this day. The word is stand, upheld, present tense. I know it now. There he is, speaking to King Agrippa, in the hearing of Festus, and all these dignitaries assemble in this great august company, and this rather overawing situation. If the newly converted Saul of Tarsus had been told that one day, 20 years hence, he'll be in this situation, all on his own, humanly speaking, he might well have said, how am I going to ever manage to be brave enough? What would I say? How would I? What do you see? When it came, having obtained help of God, I continue. And to this day, he's enjoying the help that came when he needed it. And it continues all through. And it's really a pledge of the future, isn't it? Unto this day. Is it going to stop there? Well, it's the promise of divine help all the way through, isn't it? And it's interesting that we believe that Paul was released upon his appeal to Caesar and had other years of missionary service, but he was imprisoned a second time later on, from which he was not released. He was martyred. But in 2 Timothy 4, verses 16 to 18, he writes to Timothy, and these are his parting words, really, before he was executed. And he mentions a hearing that he must have had. And he says, 2 Timothy 4, 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. It was dangerous to be associated with the Apostle Paul by then. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge, the forgiving spirit. Then he says, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preacher might be fully known. And that, unto this day, continued all the way into the future, didn't it? Right until the end. It's a lovely verse, that, 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. Notwithstanding, no human being stood with me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. It's the outward presence, you see. And it's the inward succor, strengthening me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. Paul proved that. He could tell Timothy, Timothy being a shy, reserved, rather timid young man, this would be a good word for him, wouldn't it? Timothy also would obtain all the help of God he needed from a faithful God. And so it is with the Ebenezer, isn't it, of Samuel's time. Hitherto is henceforth. It's all the future through as well. Ebenezer, hitherto hath the Lord helped us, and henceforth. As Toplady puts it, I muse on the years that are past, wherein my defence thou hast proved, nor wilt thou relinquish at last a sinner so signally loved. And let's remember, it's called help. The help of God. Enough to enable us to continue to do his will. Sometimes it will feel as if it's only just enough. Sometimes we shall feel very tired, weary, but we're helped through. We're helped along. Sometimes it'll be a very reviving, overflowing thing, and we'll feel the victory as well. But don't undervalue just the daily grace to continue and do God's will and his work and serve him and follow him fully. Help of God. And here's the sum of it all in Psalm 124 and verse 8 as we sang. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. That's Paul's testimony, the instances of it, the nature of it, the duration of it. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. May we say so too. Prove it and give him the glory. Let us sing together hymn 664.